Morning, Justin. How are you?
Morning, guys. Good. How are you?
Yeah, going very well. Thanks for coming on the program again. Yeah. At least we're seeing players back training. That's a positive to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's some great energy amongst the groups. You know, they're certainly, been in all of this uncertainty. To have any sort of normalcy and routine return to anyone's lives is a positive positive move in the right direction.
Describe their level of anxiety, though, at the moment, considering the uncertainty. And what sort of questions are you being asked by the playing group?
Oh, look, the players, you know, you would all know that athletes are pretty good at conditioning themselves to control the controllables. All the cliches come to mind, but most certainly what they understand is that in all this uncertainty, you can narrow down and make sure that you're concentrating on what your own responsibility is in this immediate short term. The immediate short term is understanding and educating the players around their responsibilities in flattening the curve and a broader societal responsibility. And inside that model, what the return to play schedule looks and feels like, making sure that they're adhering to all of the health regulations that have been submitted to local and state governments for clearance to, in fact, start training again.
Yeah, Justin, everyone that I speak to obviously wants to see rugby strong in this country again, but one of the things they ask me is, what's it going to look like going forward? And I haven't got an answer for them. Have you got an answer, or do you know, or what you're aiming for, what rugby in this country will look like from July onwards?
Yeah, without adding to uncertainty again, it is very difficult to give an accurate picture of what that framework and DNA looks like in terms of structure, makeup, team participation, likely broadcast scenarios, and who the actual teams will be. What we do know is that every option is still very much alive. There's a huge appetite from the players to be malleable and explore all sorts of things to make whatever product is put on the field in the short term interesting, engaged, and exciting from a spectator point of view and from a player point of view. Putting something on the field for the sake of it would not be beneficial to anyone. They need to be engaged, and it needs to have a meaningful platform to launch it forward. We know that in line with health restrictions, it's definitely going to be a domestic-facing competition in the short term. And your first and immediate reaction then is to draw on the resources that are easiest to corral and get together. You know, another big consideration is the financial viability of whatever model is put forward, because we know that there are still some significant hurdles from a financial security point of view to put any product on the field.
Yeah, Justin, what's your take on a lot of the more experienced and senior players signing international deals?
Oh, look, I think that this again is it highlights the difference in the sports. You know, AFL and league to a certain extent are not exposed to as greater and wider global market as rugby union. And I suppose if you look at it as a negative in terms of a player drain, you'll always be looking over your shoulder. But I think that there's a real opportunity to be creative in the way that we design the movement of talent across a genuine free market. You know, I think we recognise that the global economy is not going to come back to anything near normalcy for a long, long time, which means that the demands of a normal free market economy are not going to operate. Supply and demand is going to be affected, and that applies for sporting talent. What it does do also, though, is give an opportunity to alleviate some cost in the immediate short term for provinces that obviously have a salary load that was designed around an old economy and an old financial model. You know, it gives us an opportunity to connect again to the communities to make sure that players are joined in that food chain of rugby progression. And if it involves exploring overseas double contracting and making sure that we still have a very competitive and winning Wallaby side, then all those models need to be entertained.
I can only imagine you've watched from the sideline in dismay at what's been going on at Rugby Australia, with Peter Wiggs leaving the board after 37 days post Raylene Castle, of course, leaving the organisation. Now, Rob Clark is the interim CEO at the moment that you're dealing with. How have the discussions been with him, and what is the most pressing issue you're trying to figure out with him at the moment for your members?
Oh, look, I think Rob's very pragmatic. He knows that whilst physically he may be in the seat for a short time, the decisions he makes in the short, medium and long term will affect, you know, can drive Australian rugby forward for the next few decades. And most certainly the work that he's engaging around the Players Association, around securing some financial assurances from the various stakeholders, and then also making sure that the dialogue is open and frank and pragmatic with any broadcast partner that's likely to be interested in any sort of product that is able to be put on the screens and in front of people when we're allowed to. You know, he knows that time is not an ally. We are time precious in all of this, and we have an increasingly anxious rugby ecosystem that wants to see the product back on the field.
Justin, where does the Western Force sit in the blueprint of the game going forward?
Well, look, they're an Australian rugby state that has developed a healthy network of community engagement, and they're well financed. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's a formula for success, but most certainly they're someone that is very passionate about Australian rugby, and they are Australian rugby talent. They need to be engaged and worked out into the model. We've got to remind ourselves that bigger is not necessarily better as well. The old Super Rugby model, we're all aware, was a broken model, and putting that back together with recognition of what hasn't worked in the past and involvement from everyone with transparency and accountability is paramount.
Mm. What about Eddie Jones's comments that he believes that there should be three franchises here in Australia?
Yeah, that's one of the languages and permutations that has been discussed in the public forum. You know, Eddie Jones is certainly a well-respected coach who's coaching England and has spent a number of seasons in England now. So I think that, you know, whilst beneficial for him to have an opinion, for him to come back and probably get granular with what we're dealing with in terms of stakeholder engagement and financial permutations would be probably more beneficial before he starts pontificating about the number of provinces suitable for Australian rugby. Mm.
Justin, just on the Western Force, are there players in your tent? I mean, we're talking about an organisation that was put out to pasture by Rugby Australia a couple of years ago, and they're saying they haven't even received an invitation to play in a Super Rugby domestic competition in whatever format that may be. Are their players actually in the Rupa tent at the moment?
Yeah, their players, they access resources from Rupa. They're not full members, but most certainly they've been accessing resources since their full exclusion or deregistering from the Super competition. You know, there have been several conversations between the Western Force, Rugby Australia Administration and Rupa. So whilst a formal invitation hasn't been given, I would expect that would look like a terms of agreement. You know, there's most certainly been expressions of interest from both parties. There's been enough language in that ecosystem for us to develop enthusiasm around the way that's been received, and there's impetus for us to proceed forward and start designing, modelling around Western Force's inclusion and what that competition looks like in terms of content and accessibility for the community.
Yeah, obviously it's hard because we're uncertain about what the competition will look like, and you know there's uncertainty surrounding international football as well, Justin. But do you anticipate a series against the All Blacks at some stage this year?
Oh, look, I think everyone, you know, fan or administrator, recognises that's whilst it may appear to be low-hanging fruit, it's certainly the jewel in the crown of whenever Australia has played any sort of test campaign. Trans-Tasman rivalry rises to the top pretty quickly. We know that the Australian and New Zealand government have intimated that most likely the relaxing stages of or easing of health restrictions, the first country that will allow international travel will be between Australia and New Zealand. So it's an obvious segue into considering that model, and most certainly, you know, the language around some of the conferences that we've had with players associations between ourselves and New Zealand and also Rugby Australia has certainly been very positively received. And importantly, there's real-time work being done on developing scaffolding around what that would look like and how that would come to the market.
And most importantly, Googie, if we have a classic Wallabies curtain raiser to one of those Bledisloe tests later in the year, I mean, are you also training, hoping to get a call up amongst a few of those legends?
He'd be team manager, Mido. He'd be team manager.
Right, lifting myself out of bed to challenge at the moment, buddy.
You'd be social organiser, Googie.
Owen Finnegan.
Yeah, in trouble.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's actually British Lions Tour 2013. I organised to do an interview with Owen Finnegan the morning after the Classic Wallabies game. He didn't show up, and I saw him hours later, and he had a huge gash on his head, which I was told later didn't actually come from the game. So I don't know what happened. but I'm sure you're not shocked to hear that, Googie.
Yeah, well, listen, a head that size doesn't bounce very well. So that's
Justin, you know those classic Wallaby games? Don't rugby league players go on some of those as well?
Yeah, mate. We had Beaver Menzies came to Hong Kong, toured with us. There's been several rugby league boys have joined in. It's a good, Clyde. There's a real appetite.
How do I get a gig, mate? How do I get a gig?
Moz is free.
Mate, you got to take the straw out of your cocktail first, mate.
Very good.
Ah, yes.
No response, Loz.
Hey, Mido, people that know me, I have a crack, mate. I'll have a crack.
Here we go.
I'll have a crack.
Yeah. Well, brilliant. Justin, the game's in good hands with you running the Players Association, mate. Really appreciate you talking to us this morning, as always, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, guys. Keep safe.